Ava is dead. It is best to let her stay that way. The text I'd received last night from an unknown sender flashed through my mind as I drove toward Adam Winchester's home on Piney Point for lunch and the research session we'd set up earlier in the week. Before receiving the text, it hadn't occurred to me that looking for answers to my past might put me in any real danger. I knew that something significant had happened to me as a child, something life-altering that had resulted in my 3-year-old self being left alone and stranded in a burning warehouse on Christmas Eve. At least, that was the story I'd been told by the cop who'd raised me. That was the story I'd lived my life believing was true, even though I had no memory of either the warehouse or the fire. That was the story I had never doubted, until I found a photo of a blonde-haired woman with 2 young children standing on the porch in front of a house I now knew to be the house on Piney Point, right here in Gooseberry Bay, Washington. I'm not sure why the photo had caught my attention, but when I saw the image of the woman with 2 children standing on a porch overlooking the sea, a door in my mind had begun to open. I started having dreams that felt more like memories, which led to my decision to dig into the truth of my past. Suffice it to say, once I'd started looking, I'd found a number of inconsistencies. It was those inconsistencies that had me heading to the house on Piney Point the day after Thanksgiving. One of my Bernese mountain dogs, Callie, let out an excited yip as we turned onto the lane that led out to the house on Piney Point. Kai and Callie had only been here once before, but the trip must have made an impression since both dogs sat up and began wagging their tails once they realized where we were heading. I knew the dogs had enjoyed spending time with Adam's Tibetan Mastiff, Hitchcock, or at least it seemed as if they had. In reality, all the dogs had done was sleep by the fire during their last visit, but it seemed like a peaceful and restful sleep. I slowed as the house appeared on the horizon. I'd spent the morning talking with my new friend Gemma Hawthorne, a computer genius who'd agreed to trace the source of the text that had caused me to remain sleepless for most of the night. Gemma warned me that if the phone that had sent the text was unregistered, it was unlikely that she'd be able to dig up much that would help us identify the sender, but she agreed to do what she could. After pulling up in front of the massive mansion, I parked near the front door. As I had before, I got out and knocked on the door before letting the dogs out of the cargo area of my SUV. As he had the last time I'd visited, Adam answered the door personally. This time, Hitchcock was sitting at his side, waiting for his new buddies to come in and play.
"See, Hitchcock, I told you Ainsley was bringing the kids to play with you,"
Adam said to his furry companion. The huge Tibetan Mastiff pushed his nose into my hand in greeting. "Good morning, Hitchcock," I said as I scratched him behind the ears and then headed back toward my SUV, opened the hatchback, and let the dogs out. Adam and I stood on the front porch for a few minutes while the dogs greeted each other and ran around. Once the canine buddies had worked off some of their excitement, Adam took my arm and led me inside. The last time the dogs and I had been here, we'd headed upstairs to Adam's suite of rooms. But this time, Adam escorted us down a hallway, which led to a large room that appeared to have been used as both a library and an office. "Wow," I said, taking in the huge rock fireplace, leather sofas, oak desk, and walls layered with floor-to-ceiling bookshelves. "Was this your dad's office?" Adam nodded.
"He actually spent a lot of time in here. I think it was his retreat. After he died, I closed the door, and neither Archie nor I have spent much time in here since."
"Someone has been in to clean," I said, noticing the dust-free surfaces.
"I had the cleaning crew from town dust and air out the room since I knew we planned to spend time in here today."
Adam led me to a table with 2 chairs that had been set up in front of the roaring fire.
"Ruth prepared soup and sandwiches. I thought we'd just eat in here."
Adam slid out a chair and I sat down. There was a silver serving tray in front of each of the chairs. A basket of rolls sat in the center of the small table, and glasses filled with iced tea were to the right of each serving tray. Adam lifted one of the silver warming covers to display a plate with a bowl of thick, creamy soup and a mile-high turkey sandwich.